Hey there, and welcome back to Seasons of Life here on 101.9 CITR FM Vancouver. We're broadcasting from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territory of the Hukkamelem-speaking Musqueam people. Welcome this lovely Tuesday night, and let's get started. Hello, welcome back to yet another episode of Seasons of Life. I've missed you. I've been away, mainly doing school stuff. You know, sometimes that work and everything takes away from our little passion projects. Thank you, capitalism. I love you. I don't know how I feel, but I'm pretty indifferent, actually. You're listening to Seasons of Life. Almost the end of the school year. So let's get into it. I mean, I'm just kind of excited to kind of be back. I don't have a guest again, but near the summertime, I'm hoping to kind of get back into the whole interview phase. I will say it does take some time to do those interviews. Now, last time we were talking about some femcore, some queercore, some of this post-punk stuff that is actually quite cool. I didn't really learn about it until recently through actually an assignment I was going to do for Discorder, the magazine that is attached to CITR, kind of. And it's a really cool area of music. It's kind of, like I said, the last episode, kind of, you know, this idea that radical expression, radical ideas need radical forms of expression. I think it's great. And it really kind of plays into this kind of whole, like, rocky, grungy thing that kind of going against authority. And something that I think a lot of people attach to, like, Metallica or other mainstream kind of anti-authority bands in the 80s. But really, when you go into areas of protest for queer individuals or for women, kind of, it can be a really empowering way to get out that kind of anger with society sometimes. And I know there is a lot of anger to go around. Also, maybe happiness. I don't know. Sadness. Every type of emotion. So, without further ado, I won't keep you too long in my little pre-show rant. We've got Le Tigre, an American band, well known for their feminist and queer kind of politics in their music. This first one is definitely rather popular, but it is definitely a feel-good song too. So we'll listen to it. Listen for those themes of actually like resentment, not even resentment, but just anti kind of mainstream ideologies of women and queer individuals. So here we go. Here's Le Tigre with Deception. It's great to have you back. Who took the bomb?
We'll be right back.
Okay. So that was La Tigra with Deception. Some great, oh, so good. Like, your lyrics were dumb, like in a linoleum floor. Hello? You're so policy free. What are you asking for? Let me hear you depoliticize my rhyme. These are political actions, political ideas being shared through a genre of music that I think a lot of people discredit for being just loud. And I think some people see it as being kind of strangely conservative, but it's not. It really isn't. I think if you go to a lot of these punk shows, you'd be extremely surprised just how progressive and interested in talking about issues that face the world a lot of punk musicians are kind of going for. And it's such a great genre. I just absolutely love it. So La Tigra is a great place to start because I think Deception is such an amazing kind of high energy song that I think gets people really kind of going. But we've got my next favorite song, which is Sorority Girls by Mommy Long Legs. Now, I will say, I don't want to other anyone, and especially not sorority girls, because I've known a lot of lovely sorority girls. That said, my personal opinion about Greek life, maybe I won't say it because I want to keep everyone happy. No, I don't want to keep, okay. My personal opinion about Greek life is kind of this idea of like upholding kind of these gendered, strict gender binaries that uphold kind of these ideas of like a male superiority. I don't believe that at UBC, female like sororities can actually host parties. I don't know if they've changed it. I've heard this around a year ago from sorority girls, and kind of these ideas that kind of this commodification of women that sometimes come through these kind of Greek life scenarios. I will say they're getting better. I think a lot of people are kind of opening their eyes to these messed up gender norms in Greek life. That considered, I think this song does a very good job to bring to attention and almost satirize the existence of sororities and Greek life at university. So, without further ado, we have Sorority Girls by Mommy Long Legs.
I'll do whatever it takes to be an alpha girl. Like us that way.
Yeah. Woo. Okay. I just love the aggression. I will say there's something, again, cathartic about that. Sorry if you're in a frat. I love you all still. But you know, we can have opinions about institutions and not the people within them. Am I right? Great. So now we're on to the Breeders, Dayton, Ohio band. And we're going to use their song Cannonball. Now, you know, I don't know how much, I mean, you could probably disagree with me. This is much more of kind of, what's the word? Like, kind of just a generic kind of song. I don't know really if there's much behind it, as far as, like, politics or whatnot. But the Breeders are also kind of fall under this tradition of post-punk. They are inspired by the Pixies and other post-punk musicians. I will say, yeah, it's just kind of this fast rock song with kind of these alternative indie grungy vibes behind it. So gotta love the Breeders. Also the name, let's be real, Breeders. So funny. Okay, so we're on to Cannonball by the Breeders.
Thank you. In this COVID world booming with content creators, have you ever thought about how creators with disabilities navigate the effects of COVID? Find out virtually on Zoom with the Accessibility Collective on Monday, March 29th from 5 to 6:30 p.m. along with Stefan Honage, Velvet Crayon, and Mike Broly-Lake-Speckham at CITR, where we discuss this. See you there!
We don't need to tell you that Vancouver has a housing problem.
Mass evictions.
Mass rent evictions.
Unfair rent increases.
What happened to rent control and protection from unfair eviction?
If these or other housing matters concern you, you may be interested in joining the Vancouver Tenants Union. For more information, visit tenantsunion.ca.
Hell yeah, get on that Tenants Union. Woo. Okay, so that was The Breeders with Cannonball. You know, a little bit different. They had a false end in the middle, which I thought was like, you know, was it over? No, it's not. It's going. It keeps going. Those false endings. I mean, I haven't heard many in songs as of late, but yeah, this was definitely a much more popular kind of song. I think early 2000s, 93 actually was when it came out. So I think it's maybe more talking about, we could probably talk more about like kind of the evolution of post-punk as it came from kind of, I think actually the Smiths count under post-punk, believe it or not. But yeah, kind of that evolution of movement from a British kind of post-punk idea that was largely predicated on taking punk back from kind of these white factory workers in Britain and readjusting the genre to speak about other things as well, which I think is great. Giving everyone a voice. And now we're here with a lot of different newer stuff in the 2020s. Wow, this is almost like 40 years ago that this is kind of developing, but we're here now. And I think the punk of today is a lot more like kind of bedroom pop or other more like do-it-yourself kind of ideas. It kind of allows bands almost a democratization of making music, which can be great, harder too sometimes because there's so much to choose from, and sometimes maybe song. I mean, I know this sounds maybe a little bit pretentious, but it's nice when kind of art follows that kind of conversation in that genre and kind of branches out kind of like a river. So let's say someone has read a lot of different genres of a book and they want to make a contribution to a particular genre, they can produce that book, and it kind of plays off of these ideas of what that culture has been doing in the past. The democratization of music can be great because I think that it does kind of allow people who may have been left out of the conversation, particularly marginalized individuals, queer individuals, it gives them a voice, you know. But on the flip side, whether that voice is adding to an existing conversation or just another drop in a bucket of chaos is yet to be seen. And I think going off of kind of Noam Chomsky's idea of manufactured consent and who controls media and how it changes your perspective of the world, I think now that Spotify has such a grasp on what is considered art through algorithms or whatnot, I don't know if they explicitly pick what goes in these different folders or areas within Spotify, or if it's produced by record companies to get people in these folders or the playlists. But it's kind of interesting to see how power has shifted to tech companies in creating kind of narratives around art and what it means to protest and what it means, what proper protest looks like, what civil protest looks like. I think it's really big conversations that we're going to continue to be having throughout the 21st century as we negotiate our relationship with technology and media more generally. So that is Cannonball by The Breeders. We're going on to Maggot by the lovely Slut Ever. The names. Who comes up with these names? I'm a fan. I would love to start a post-punk band. If you want to join my band, I don't know what I would call it. It wouldn't be called Seasons of Life. It's not punk enough. Anyways, we've got Maggot by Slut Ever.
I look at you and suddenly I start to pick your ass.
So that was Slut Ever, who are a fuzzy punk pop, not apparently to be confused with pop punk duo from LA, made of Nicole Snyder and Rachel Gallagardi. You know, I am curious what a fuzzy punk pop is. It sounds like some sort of icicle or something you get from an ice cream truck. But who am I to say? Their favorite bands are Speedy Orbits and Mannequin Pussy. Wonderful. I love it. I think it's so good. Now, we are going on to our next band, which is Destroy Boys. I do not think we should destroy boys. For the record, I think boys are great. I'm a boy, I will say. And I have lots of boy, or I don't have a lot of boyfriends. I have a lot of friends that are boys, and they're lovely. So, but, you know, with feminist critique comes art that I think challenges the patriarchy through saying things like destroy boys, or all boys are bad, stuff like that. And it gets the conversation started, I guess. People get offended and they talk about it among their peers, and then, you know, that's how politics happens. That is politics. So here's Destroy Boys. I threw a glass at my friend and now I'm on probation. Oh no, I threw a glass at my friend's eyes and now I'm on probation. What a story in a title. Anyways, here's Destroy Boys.
Me over ever again.
So that was Destroy Boys, a rock band from Sacramento, California. Really, that relationship sounds not great. I'm not one to judge from the outside, but it sounds like a lot of decisions need to be made. But I do think we've all kind of been in that situation where we are debating whether to keep that going or not. I don't know why this always becomes a relationship show. One way or another. But yeah, I guess that's a big part of the human experience. Who we meet, who we fall in love with, and whether we want to hang out with them again. As Destroy Boys so clearly elucidates in I threw glass at my friend's eyes and now I'm on probation. Lovely. Great. Now we're on to Give It Up by The Beaches. I believe they're a Canadian band. I'll double check as the song plays, and I'll give you some more information about them. But yeah, this is Give It Up by The Beaches. Hey! So that was Give It Up by The Beaches, a Toronto band for lovely ladies from Toronto. That kind of rock sound, they have a very full rock sound. Like, it sounds tight, together, a very cohesive piece, I will say. I believe that's one of their more popular songs. And they won 2018 Juno Award for, I believe, Best Upcoming Breakthrough Artist. But they definitely have this kind of great, loud, aggressive, but you know, just a good tight sound. So I'm a fan of The Beaches. I think they're great. Give them a look out there, pals. So we're on to another Canadian band, a garage rock duo supposedly from right here, Vancouver, British Columbia, or Musqueam, Tsleil Waututh, and Squamish First Nations. Yeah, very electric song by the Pack AD, which is the band that we're going to be listening to, with Yes I Know. Again, one of their more popular songs. It's probably, of all their songs, I do think the most kind of with the current of rock. It sounds rather kind of akin to that rock vibe that we're going for. And as most popular songs of a band's do, they kind of rope you in, and then you can check a little bit more at the Pack AD if you like this good song. So without further ado, we'll give the Pack AD, lovely band from Vancouver, a lovely shout out on our radio show. I hope you're enjoying it so far. We're halfway through this lovely Tuesday. And yeah, I hope you're enjoying the sun out there. So this is Yes I Know by the Pack AD. That was Yes I Know by Vancouver band The Pack AD. Speaking of knowing, what if nobody knows? That's our next song by Iskwe. Her long name in English is Blue Sky Woman. She is Métis an activist from Treaty One territory, originally from Winnipeg, Manitoba. She's been all around the world, mainly all around Turtle Island or North America, and is a great protest singer for Indigenous Canadians. And in that comes, you know, branching off of our theme of protest. Now, this song is a little bit more kind of higher energy as well. But Iskwe did talk about kind of her struggle too with kind of trying to fit into the dominant kind of like colonial archetype of art, but also breaking free from that, which has been a continued challenge from my understanding of a lot of Indigenous singers who want to stick with kind of traditional music, but then also try and, you know, become popular and make money, which is, you know, in itself kind of just a strange idea, that you kind of have to follow these kind of ideas to make that money. But this is a great opportunity for, as we were talking earlier, you know, Spotify and other things as well, to amplify Indigenous voices and Indigenous singers, to kind of bring that into the forefront of the Canadian musical kind of assortment. But I don't know if that really happens as much. You don't really see a lot of Indigenous artists in a lot of these playlists on Spotify. So that's something. Dear Spotify, please do this more. So, we've got Nobody Knows by Iskwe.
Down in the shade, I won't be afraid. No, I won't. I won't be afraid. No, I won't. I won't be afraid. Lay me down in the shade.
Nobody knows where we've been or where we go. Nobody knows.
So that was Nobody Knows by Is Kuei. It actually is a very strong, heartfelt anthem protest about the missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls inquiry in Canada. It has been called by some agencies a ongoing genocide in the country. So the fact that we are in a place where there could be an ongoing genocide and it seems hardly on the top of anyone's minds is crazy. So I think that we need to constantly keep in mind that as we live in this place, that there are nefarious things happening to people that, to people who live in this place for likely no other reason but the, you know, their cultural heritage. And Indigenous women and girls in Canada have been murdered or gone missing at a rate that is 4 times higher than the rate of representation in the country. Indigenous women are 12 times more likely to be murdered or missing and 8 times more likely to face abuse. Now, kind of like talking about how we can work towards addressing these issues, there's a lot of resources online, but decolonization and working to daylight Indigenous culture in the city, in, you know, places that we access media and stuff along those lines is so, so, so important with making people feel connected and rooted at home. I think the reason why I have taken a couple classes on indigeneity in the city, but then I've recently read 21 Things You Didn't Know About the Indian Act, and just I would highly recommend reading that book, but also just understanding that there are people, histories in this country that do not make us better than any other country. They're just different. And that's something that we need to acknowledge, I think. That's really important. And I say this on the coattails of the David Chauvin trial in the U.S. He was convicted of murder and manslaughter. And I think during the Black Lives Matter protests, a lot of people were saying that we were either A, exactly like the U.S., or B, nothing like the U.S. But reality is that we're actually a lot different, but bad in our own ways. So I think that we need to really consider you know, the effects of colonization on media and music and stuff along those lines. So in this week of protest on Seasons of Life, it's so important that we, and I don't just want to play this song because it is in itself a really good song, but I think it's just something that I think we should all be very passionate about and working towards addressing. So along that lines, not Indigenous, but from Toronto, Dilly Dally with Purple Rage. We can take out our rage here today. Here is Purple Rage by Dilly Dally.
Purple.
Okay, that was Purple Rage. You raged up? I know I am. What can I say about Dilly Dally? There's nothing I can't say. I mean, they're amazing. They're so good. Check them out. Queer band, female run, clearly. Hear that voice. Oh, so good. And how does this not, like, fire you up? So that was Purple Rage by Dilly Dally. We're going to go on to How I Feel by The Hallucination. It used to be a tribe called Red, but they changed their names. I'm not sure if they changed it because of a tribe called Quest and maybe confusion on that front. But I really like this song too, now that we're discussing decolonization and stuff along those lines. This is something that we need to continually have a conversation about, something that is challenging, I think, for a lot of people to that have grown up with the education that they do about how great Canada is, to really confront those emotions and think about, you know, moving forward, how we can be better suited to stand up for our Indigenous neighbors and people who, you know, live next door to us, and whose traditional land we're on. That in BC, most of that land was never ceded, so it was never given up. Not through conquest, not through treaties, not through the Pope, which is apparently a way that you can give up land in a weird way. I'm not sure why, but no, all this land's unceded, and we need to, I think, acknowledge that. And then even the treaties were created when people didn't have, you know, any idea. There's some people that didn't speak English, and they were forced to, you know, were poorly translated ideas of what these treaties meant, and they were made and completely, you know, changed the lives of the first people who were here before colonization, and in such a negative, terrible way. So we really need to work on this, you know, decolonization, and we're not in a decolonial state right now. We're still kind of working on that. And something that, yeah, these conversations need to keep happening, especially when we talk about protests. Because I think that's probably, this is probably one of the more pressing issues in Canada, is the topic of decolonization. Now that we're on that kind of conversation of protest and stuff along those lines. So, here's How I Feel by The Hallucination.
Cause it's much harder living it than listening to the hardships. So the heart's conditioned to condition the air. When the air that conditions keep cool, but the more tears sometimes are clear to vision. Not what I see. Been a long time coming to drop, running, rocking, reaching new peaks so them youngest can finally summit. Climbing high above and then flying from it up to the skies and overstanding the corruption and deconstructing the lies. I've seen this country decline. Try to keep discussions confined, hide the underside, over extract and try to undermine. Damn, but I still believe in the truth. Whether it's an MC in the booth or a PhD in the suit. Yo, when we yelling protest, tell them the feeling is peaceful. We profess, we testify to the will of the people. Tell them what they must know. Turn it up loud when we bust flows. Not in hushed tones, speaking up, let the trust grow. Now you don't gotta tell me how you feel. Cause I can see it in your eyes. You don't gotta tell me that the pain is real. Cause I can hear it in your cry.
tears and time to stitch up any wounds and heal the scars that leave behind a separation from the fam, segregation on the land. It was all part of the plan, and the blood is on your hands. It's all divide and conquer, colonize and slaughter, stabbing at the heart through the backs of our grandfathers. Now we see our daughters that are disappearing quickly, say it's through the cracks while ignoring all the history. Governments been scooping babies way before the 60s. When you legalize abduction, you legalize the misery. So now you see the mystery is really not too complicated. Justice is unequally distributed. My observation, money could be made while the kids are steady oscillating. Splitting up a family has now become an occupation. And it's been part of the occupation since residential schools enforced starvation. It's a nation with racism here since the start of it. Hard to let go because it's carved in the heart of it. Relation to the land and our eyes, we're a part of it. Roots where I stand, I could never depart from it. And you don't have to tell me how you feel, because I can see it in your eyes. And they don't have to prove to me that the pain is real, because I can hear it in their cries.
Honestly, that song is so good. It is so powerful. If you don't know what they're talking about, I would recommend brushing up on kind of some Canadian history, specifically around residential schools and 60s Scoop and other poignant displays of Canadian aggression by the Canadian state on Indigenous individuals and forced assimilation. Cultural genocide. So, I mean, beautiful song, but again, these conversations of protest are so important. So we're going to go with a couple of ads, and then we'll see if we have time at the end for another song. I don't know if we will, so we might leave it on How I Feel by The Hallucination. Thanks for listening. That was a cough. See you next week, I guess. If I'm on next week, I'll have all my essays done, and we'll go from there. So play a couple ads, and then maybe a last song.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Feels like a vortex, all covered in Gore-Tex. Don't look at your tax.
Do you like that?
Bad effects, bad effects. Bad effects, bad effects.
How about that? Mondays, 5 p.m. Deliberate Noise. Nina Panini, special guest Claire. Local, new, hot, upcoming shows, toilets, friendship. Mondays at 5. CITR. Be there. Be there.
One, two, three.
Be there.